Yeah, so I will talk about Jenkins, Garrett, and other tools we're using to do all the things with commits. So first of all, let's start with some code or spaces and tabs. Later, we might get a commit, and of course, we push it. Earlier, I don't know when Garrett was introduced. I think 1 or 2 years ago. Yeah, maybe 2 years. So we changed that to push to Garrett. So what's Garrett actually? Garrett is for reviewing a single commit. So in difference to GitHub pull request, where you usually review a whole branch or multiple commits, this is really usually you review every single commit and say, no, here's missing a tab or whatever command, which in my opinion is much more precise because you just look at the commit and think, okay, this commit is fine. And on GitHub, it's more likely, yeah, all this 50 commits looks good, let's merge it. Usually you don't find the missing things there. And also Garrett can integrate Jenkins or other tests with it. So it really depends how many tests you want to do, but yeah, there are multiple integrations to it. So just take a short look how Garrett looks like. So this is the usual interface. You just see all the comments. I don't know how many projects we now start to use it actually, but yeah, it's a lot. It's usually sometimes a little bit slow because it's full of JavaScript, but yeah, that's a different discussion. But it has also some SSH. Yeah, some SSH, not API, interface, and there are also some other tools where you can interface with Garrett. Like there's a Git review plugin where you can, yeah, which helps downloading or uploading commits to or from Garrett. So back to our commit. After we pushed it to Garrett, we do some tests. So in our at the moment, it's just the Jenkins which compiles and then do the unit tests, but we might change it to maybe TT3NC or to the Osmo GSM tester. Yeah, but we could all add it. For now, it's a simple compile and unit test. Then some of us must have to review the commit and say +2, which means, yeah, looks good for me. And later, somebody have to press the merge button on Garrett because Garrett usually should own the master branch if you use it. So Jenkins, I think everybody knows this Java monster. I don't know how many plugins we are using, maybe 30 or 40. Not sure. Let's take a just short look at our Jenkins. This is one of them. So we have lots of test drops. Some I actually use, some are offline by now. And you also get the logs of the test drop. And for example, those are the Garrett drops. And if the drop successfully won for a certain Garrett commit, it also you also see +1 for this commit for testing that it worked well. And you can also it also links the test drop directly to the commit, so you can see it actually. So they're basically our four most important tests. We have also some other support drops and yeah, lots of other tests, but I think those are the basic four topics we are doing at the moment. So Garrett and master are not really different. They also just compile and take a look at the unit tests, but we also have dependency, like if libosmo core is changing, it triggers multiple drops and also get back to it. Yeah, so I don't know how many people really try to configure a single Jenkins drop and try to do it by hand. So let's see that we want to change the build slave, test multiple build slaves. So every time you have to go down and it really takes time where you get to the configuration. So we changed like a couple of months. We starting using a different tool, which helps us configuring the Jenkins. We decided to use the Jenkins Job Builder. It's basically a Python script. It comes from OpenStack. They created it, and it's doing YAML. So the input is usually YAML, and the output is the XML, which is also pushed to the Jenkins via the API. So you can directly configure the jobs there. And also, we can use heavily templating and other common techniques. I'm just taking a look into our repository where we have a simple job. Like this is a quite simple job. It's just having here. This is a job. It's actually just a trigger. So for the Osmo GSM tester, if we want to for the Osmo GSM tester, the Jenkins builds all the binaries and give it as the tarball to the GSM tester, and the GSM tester then runs all the tests it knows. And for this task, this is basically just a trigger which triggers other jobs. So for building the Osmo BSC and basically what's important is the node actually here, which builds it. And here we also have all the different triggers which it should trigger. So this is quite a simple one. We have also like files which are hundreds of lines, which are doing the tests. What's a better example? Like maybe the runner is a better example. So let's start here. So we have like an Git repository. The other one was just triggered, and this one is running the tests on the GSM tester itself. So it's based on a Git repository. Here we have our Git repository, which can be included multiple times in different jobs just by using the name. And I think getting further down, here's another Git repository, and here it actually starts our template. So it's really good to, because we have multiple jobs which are quite similar to each other, we are using templating, and yeah, I think it would be another talk just about the Jenkins Job Builder. I just want to give you the basic idea how it works. It's a little bit different how it templates actually, but and we are starting to using also Ansible for our build slaves. So we had some problems that, for example, if you want to build OsmoCom, you need 10, 15 different requirements. Like, I don't know what, no, libdbi isn't so much used anymore, but a lot of libraries we're using, like libtelloc. And so we started using Ansible to set up the build nodes itself, which is quite similar to Jenkins Job Builder. It's also written in YAML, and yeah, you say please install this or that package, and so that's basically, I can show a short example of the Ansible. So this is a simple task, how we all install the packages for via Ansible. And so you can use lists and items to define your packages. And so we have basically started to use it, so we have a fast, simple way to reproduce our build slaves. And it's basically quite simple YAML. I think most people can actually just read and understand it without knowing the language itself, but writing, yeah, of course you must know basically. So in this particular example, it's installing all the items listed here. It's the item here, and before we tell with those two lines that it should update, that it should execute upget update if the cache is older than 30,600 seconds. And yeah, so the script is basically, yeah, the Ansible is doing this for, yeah, for all of it. Like here we are adding a user and also generating an SSH key, and yeah. And everything resides in the Osmo CI repository, both the Jenkins drop and the Ansible repository. So if you want to take a look. Okay, this was basically the talk.
Yeah, what I would like to be able to do is to test if a project builds on different Linux distributions and runs some test, but on particular distribution. Is how do you know how to do it with these tools?
At the moment, we are only testing Debian, but we also have OpenSUSE build system. And there we actually built for, okay, only Ubuntu, Debian on different architectures, but we should add also the other build specs, so we at least we know somehow it's building or not building on this or that architecture or distribution. But at the moment we are only doing Debian.
But basically, if you wanted to do that with Ansible and Jenkins, then you would basically, in addition to the, right now we have Ansible files that describe which build dependencies to install using apt on a Debian machine, you would basically do the same for whatever other distribution you want to build on. So you basically, in Ansible, in the YAML, you would describe, well, for building OsmoCom on Fedora, you need to install these packages. And then we could create a container or a jail or whatever on one of our build hosts, run Ansible against that. So basically this build slave has all the dependencies, and then we could have build jobs that build on that distribution. So
something like Docker, but without Docker.
No, you can do it with Docker. We even using Docker in some of our builds. It's also possible.
But the easiest way would create a build slave, and we can add it to the Jenkins. That would be the easiest way how we could integrate it. So if you have like a VM with Fedora, we could add it to the Jenkins and also enable that the Garrett and the master is building on this machine.
Yeah, so the architecture of the build host now looks like that we have, of course, the physical machine, which I think always runs some Debian, but it doesn't really matter so much. And then we have LXC containers, Linux containers, for the individual build slaves. So we have an LXC container for Debian 8 and one for Debian 9. And as I said, you could have one for the Fedora or SUSE or whatever you had. We used to also have some FreeBSD jails, but we deprecated that because basically we're not aware of anyone using OsmoCom on FreeBSD, and it created lots of work for us. And without any users, it's not really worth putting effort in it. Yeah, but so basically we could have such build slaves, and then as Lynx has pointed out, we could execute stuff there from Jenkins. What we do have is that some of the build jobs that we have, or the build test jobs, actually use Docker internally to speed up the builds, because they have already some basically some environment that's we have some build jobs that build natively in the Linux jail, and then we have some build jobs that basically start a Docker container and then build inside the Docker container. So then we have Docker inside LXC in that setup. And the one advantage of that is also that you can have any number of parallel builds in an easy way, and depends on the specific build job. And then we have all the TTCN3 stuff, which again also runs various different Docker containers inside the LXC run the tests. Yeah, and the other approach is to use OBS, but OpenSUSE Build Service is not really for compile testing, it's for building packages for the respective distribution. So you could abuse that, of course, but because if you can build your package, then yes, you have done your make and your packaging and your make check and whatever, so you know that has also run, but that's not really what it's intended for, but possible.
Can you explain the correlation between Git branches and the refs in Garrett, or if there is, or how does that work?
So actually, Garrett has its own. Garrett doesn't have, or it has some understanding of branches, but it's just you. Let's say you just put another commit on the master. So actually, Garrett usually only tracks the master, and if you have a commit, you push it to Garrett, and Garrett does some, let's say, virtual branch for every new commit you push on it. So you can chain multiple commits, but Garrett doesn't have a real branch of it. Garrett uses actually. In Garrett use the own reference, which is in every commit you see those references. Just I can show it on the Garrett. The change ID here. So this is the commit message here. And when you do on your local machine a git commit, there is a pre-commit hook. In your own machine, which generates those change ID. It's completely random, and Garrett tracks all commits based on this change ID.
So so pushing to Garrett, you should always use that refs for master, right?
Yes.
But okay, so maybe it's the topic then that I'm wondering about. Can you show the list of current open commits?
On what project?
Any of them.
Okay.
So there's branch. Okay, so it's a topic that's in brackets after the branch. So how does that relate to the workflow?
That's only a tag that you can put it. Otherwise, it's an anonymous tag is created and no text is shown, but it's the same.
So that's not a git tag, it's just a descriptive, it's a topic. It's just a description about it. So if you know how feature branches, some people use Git flow with feature branches for every new feature, they create a new branch. And this is a little bit similar how Garrett works, because let's say you checked out the Git master a week ago, you develop and now you push it to Garrett, usually first you rebase your branch to master and push it to Garrett. And Garrett knows, okay, those commits are from master. I ignore all old commits which are already on master and just track the two new commits it didn't know before.
Okay. So, okay, so just like if I wanted to suggest some code by making a commit, but the intention is not really to say, you know, the intention is to have this merge to master as such. It's just like a way of communicating, maybe, hey, there's a bug. Here it is. This is what it is. This is my attempt to fix it. But it's not actually me saying, I suggest this code gets merged. Is this the right way to do it, to push a commit?
Actually, there are multiple ways to do it. My preferred way is I just put a not for master or not for merge in front of it if I want to show it to somebody, because then it also gets tested by Jenkins. But there is also a draft feature, which where you can put your commits, which are even non-public. If somebody doesn't know the exact URL, it doesn't. Doesn't get to it.
We're not really using any of that. So the normal process in OsmoCom is you just push to a branch, not to ref sets for master. So you push to something like LaForge, BTS, whatever, FUBAR. And that's not visible in Jenkins at all, because Jenkins is what we use to review stuff that we want to merge. In Garrett. So we don't want, I mean, if it's really something that's still in process and maybe I just want to have some other people to be able to check it out and have a look at it, then we really push to branches that are typically prefixed with the developer name. So you have all these Daniel/something or Neil/something or LaForge/something branches, or P. Meyer branches. Then once it's ready for being merged, then we push to refs heads for master, which makes it appear in Garrett, and we go through review and merge it to master. How has a comment?
So sometimes what you can do actually to be sure that it's not, let's say, directly merged, I sometimes do it. I just mark it myself like with review -1, just to, and I add some comment to the commit. So then it's more difficult actually for somebody to merge it, because I mean when you see the -1, then it's you take more attention at it at least, because yeah, sometimes you want to propose something, but you are really not sure if that's the correct fix, so you are just really, okay, that's my proposal, but can somebody really check it out? So that's what I do usually. I add -1, like myself, to my commit, yeah. And then I put some comment, and then maybe I ask on IRC, can somebody check it?
Yeah,
that's my preferred way.
So with -1 is meant on Garrett, you say +2, so it's like a vote system where you can vote on the commits. And this is like an example where I developed something but without a test, and I gave it -1, so others might just see, okay, it's not for real yet, or there are still problems.
Yeah, like sometimes if you push something but then you realize also like, oh, actually this is missing some code, or actually I want to add some tests or whatever, then myself I add a -1, like, hey, keep it there because I am actually going to update it at some point. Maybe it takes a few days, but...
So my experience with Garrett in another project is that it's if you push something to Garrett, it usually doesn't leave Garrett and go into master unless you sort of take care of that happening. So just it being in Garrett is not automatically, in my experience, a guarantee that it will arrive in master. But I think if I understood the question the right way, I think it makes sense to push also proposals into Garrett.
Yeah, because you can better discuss it, but it depends if you want to discuss it in Garrett or on the mailing list. I think that's the difference between both. So if you just push it to a branch, you can't discuss it in there. You have to discuss it on IRC, on the mailing list. But if you push it to Garrett, you can discuss this directly there and can also annotate single lines, in my opinion, much better than on a mailing list.
And I think it's also good to, because this way you can keep a record of like possible changes, because at some point after a few time, you figure out, oh, actually this patch is really needed and I made it. But of course, if you push it to a branch, sometimes you just delete it at some point. But in this case, you can probably go and figure out where it is in Garrett and actually reuse it.
Mm. Okay. Any other questions?
Because I don't know if it was said, if you push some commits into a branch and not trying to push it into master, it will be tested by Jenkins or not?
No, it won't be tested by Jenkins.
Okay.
Jenkins is only testing master and Garrett patch sets. So yeah, such a commit you push to Garrett.
Okay.
that could be changed, though. I mean, it's just a configuration. I mean, if there is a need for it, we could ask Jenkins by configuration to not only build or test master, but also some other branches with a certain prefix or something like that. So if that's needed, it can be configured. So what I personally would want to see is that we have, even for the non-Garrett projects, we have build testing in place that actually passes. So even for projects like RTL, SDR, and so on, I think it's really useful to have testing in place, because the Jenkins execution, I mean, normally there's a clean environment, it's being built, and you run make check or something like that to run some unit tests. Not sure whether we build with address sanitizer now and WArrow, I think we do. So there is advantage of stuff being built and knowing that your master is currently building on at least those systems that we primarily support, which is Debian so far. And I'd like to encourage people to work on adding this even for the non-Garrett projects and the non-CNI projects, so to speak.